Hey, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Thanks for tuning in. Got a pretty fun episode for you. Our guest was Dr. Christine Walker. And Christine is a physical therapist, but also Cash PT owner and a yoga practitioner. And as you'll find out, likes diving into a lot of things, literally and figuratively. This was a fun episode for us to record because Christine, one's very personable, as you'll hear very soon. But it was also a little bit different because we kind of got to tackle some of the questions and subjects such as why aren't there more female cash-based owners or owners in general, and motivations behind getting into cash PT, and is it sustainable? Can you grow a cash practice? Are hours really important for outcomes and things that are topics that are talked about very often in the PT world? So I think you'll enjoy that. But before we get started, we are proud to be sponsored by WebPT, the end-to-end business solution for private practice PTs, OTs, and SLPs, providing everything from documentation and scheduling to RCM service, billing software, and outcome tracking. WebPT's mission is to help rehab therapists achieve greatness in practice, and that starts with education. That's why WebPT is offering a free guide to healthcare payment reform. To download it today, visit webpt.com/pay-for-performance. And now, on to Therapy Insiders. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Dr. Gene Shirakabrad here with Dr. Joe Palmer, Dr. Erson Religioso. Again, the three of us are back together. We go through ups and downs. I had a little separation anxiety from you two being on the podcast, but now we're back and I feel better. And I just had some sunflower seeds, so I'm really, really ready to go. What about you guys?
Feels good, Gene.
Yeah, it's great. But every time you say that, I always feel like, did I miss an episode?
Well, sometimes you and I do it. Sometimes Joe, like Joe and I were we had Mike on last time, the recent episode about population health and primary care physical therapy, but you weren't there. And then it switches around. So to have everyone together, the core group, it's like, it's having the family, the family together. It feels good.
The Musketeers without D'Artagnan.
That's not cool because D'Artagnan's kind of like the cool one.
Yeah, but isn't he like the fourth one?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's the Three Musketeers and the fourth one's actually the cool one. But he becomes the Musketeer at the end, right?
I guess so. Is that because one of them dies?
No, they don't die. Because he earns his right to be a Musketeer.
It's been a long time.
Because like the Musketeers
I'm gonna have to rewatch that one, guys.
It's a book, Joe. It's a book. You read the book.
What?
Dumas wrote the book. Anyways.
Dumbass?
That was a hilarious commercial. You remember that commercial?
Oh, no, that was actually from Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies.
There's a commercial years ago about a guy going for a job interview, and he's like, Mr. Dumbass, I am a perfect candidate, Mr. Dumbass. And it's like D-U-M-A-S, and the guy's like, the name's Dumas. It was a great commercial. Anyway, so we're all back, and we are having a conversation about business in a sense, but also one of the most popular topics I hear about from listeners, from DPT students particularly, is about cash PT, about starting a practice, about doing something aside from working for someone. No offense, Joe, but just doing something that's a little bit different than just going and getting a job, which is a growing sentiment. Better or worse, that's yet to be determined, but it's a growing sentiment. I mean, do you guys get that sense, or do you get those questions as well?
Yeah, I mean, I see that, but you'll never work for a tougher boss than yourself. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's fantastic. I like that.
That is true, but I also give myself off when I want off. So, yeah, I am kind of hard on myself. I think the successful ones, cash PT, right. But I also say that, I am not by no means a cash PT expert. I just happen to be someone who does cash-based PT. So,
well, we know a few cash PT experts, and that's a growing field in itself. And the analysis is still out there on how successful that can be. There's still not a lot of information on scaling that practice. Obviously, our friend Paul Goff, he's doing something like that, but it's tough to scale. Even more so, what I usually don't hear, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is that I feel like it's very much male dominated. I don't know many female cash PTs aside from like the pelvic health community, hashtag pelvic mafia, like the Sandy Hiltons, the Sarah Hogg, who else? And Wendell.
Which you're part of now. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Tracy Scher.
Right. Tracy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Julie Weeb, of course, or Weeby as you call her. But that community, I ran into her at CSM and we were making fun of that. I was like, Weeby. She was awesome.
I'm sure I'm not the only person who said that.
No, I'm pretty sure you are. Pretty sure you are. But anyway, but I feel like it's that community is definitely female paced, but the orthopedic outpatient world, I feel like that's very much male dominated, especially in cash PT. I mean, I could be living under a rock, but I'd like to think that I'm a man of the community. I get out and about digitally at least and talk with the people. And I haven't seen that a lot. So, Arsene, this is exciting for us because we get to talk cash PT, we get to talk business, we get to talk some yoga, and we also get to talk to somebody that's doing it that's a female, which I'm really excited to get that perspective. So, your honors, please, of introducing our guest.
Yeah, lots of firsts today. Today, dating this podcast was the Get PT First March takeover. Hopefully that went well and you guys all did your due diligence to advocate for PT and use the hashtag Get PT First and share. If not, you can do the next one. Another first today was I officially added a female to my 10-person basically sausage party manual therapy team. Someone said, hey, you know, I've been reading your blog for several years and it's great that you added a team and I like all the new posts and different perspectives, but it's kind of male dominated. So I said, hey, you know what? There are actually four females who are invited, but none of them have supplied me with bios or pictures yet. So I just got the first bio and the first picture of Dr. Christine Walker. She is the cash-based slash yoga slash PED slash doing visitation to people's homes PT that we're talking about. She is the expert that we have on tonight, and we're really excited to have her on. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Now,
did I miss anything?
Is cash PT a male dominated world, or am I just talking to males that own cash PT practices?
I would have to agree with you that a lot of your outpatient ortho or sports related cash PTs that I know of are typically male. I do know some here in my local area that are female, but they are usually somewhat in the yoga community. So naturally an area where a lot of females are drawn to as well. So I think it depends definitely on the setting, but at least on the in the internet world, I would have to agree with you. But I mostly see male PTs doing cash-based practices.
So what made you want to get into the cash world?
So I, like any other former athlete, went to PT school thinking I'm going to do outpatient ortho. This is what I want to do. And I got on my ortho rotations. And my first rotation in school was fantastic. It was actually a private practice that only saw patients pretty much one-on-one, which is extremely rare these days. And so I just really learned the value of spending time with patient. And the following rotation I had in ortho was excellent as well, because I had a fantastic SCS certified mentor and everything, but the clinic was so busy. It was double, triple booked all day long. And I just started thinking to myself, this is not how I want to practice. When I finally got out of school, looking around at all the jobs, unfortunately, they were pretty much all high expectations of productivity and I just really didn't feel that was bringing the best care to any of the patients that I was seeing. I couldn't give them the attention they really needed to truly get better and make lasting changes. Sure, I could kind of quick fix and get a lot of people feeling somewhat better, but I just didn't feel like we were really making just any significant life changes that maybe would prevent them from having to come back to see us for this back pain next year, et cetera.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to interrupt
you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I hear this all the time, and I find it fascinating because I'm torn myself, and I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on this. Were the outcomes not improving, or your perception of the connection with the people not where you wanted it to be?
I would say some of both. For example, when you're, you know, double, triple booked and you have somebody who comes in with back pain, I just saw a lot of generic back pain exercises being submitted to every single patient versus instead really looking into, like, say, the true cause. And I feel like so much of back pain is not just let's exercise and get better. A lot of it is related to what in the world have you been doing leading up the last few years to this back pain. And so just not taking the time to really figure out maybe more of a root cause of the issue and changing it. It was just a very cookie cutter approach, which, you know, for a decent number of people would at least get them better for a significant amount of time and maybe get them on their way. But there was also this subgroup that wasn't getting better. And I felt like they were the people in particular who really needed one-on-one care to have better outcomes. And I don't have a percentage off the top of my head at this time. But I do think, you know, for some people, sure, being in that environment probably works okay. I think from a prevention standpoint, though, it's a lot harder to really sit down and address a lot of lifestyle things that are going on, which you'll hear me talk about more when we talk about kind of how the yoga comes into play. But
look at her leading the interview. She's like, it's her first podcast and she's a pro. I like it.
Now we're going to talk about you.
this is not about you, Christine. This is not about you.
Actually, I thought it was
okay,
about her.
Oh, yeah, it is about her.
And you're right. It's about Christine and Jean.
Well, it's always that. But no, I think you're right. I mean, what do you guys think? Because I hear this all the time. It's that continuous discussion of how much it is time. Does time guarantee outcomes when you spend it with patients?
I think it's hard to argue that it doesn't. I mean, you know, even on my website, I basically say that you don't go to your hairdresser, you know, and expect them to be working on like four other clients at once and do the same exact good job as going to someone who just works on you. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of PTs out there who are probably high productivity, but they might have like a well-oiled machine with aides and assistants and potentially trainers or whatever your state utilizes in terms of secondary personnel. And you know, if you only really need to do 10 to 15 minutes of manual and then pass someone on to a trainer or a PTA for all the corrective exercises, that could possibly work. But, you know, those of us who are in cash PT, I mean, we do it because we want to spend time with people. It doesn't mean I always spend an hour with people. In fact, sometimes people pay me for an hour and I'm like, look, I'm done with you in half an hour. I'm going to refund you because I'm not just going to sit here and do like a la carte PT and like rub your back because it's sore now, you know? it's just that I'm not rushed is the thing. Like I know that if I go 10 minutes over an appointment and my next patient is waiting, they even know that I'm not going to be rushing into their visit. I'm still going to be calm. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I don't have like this backlog of people.
So that's culture. That's like your business culture and your feeling of how you want your business run. But what about outcomes and productivity, Joe?
Yeah. I don't think that you can say that time equals a outcome. Now I'm excited to see what, you know, once we start, being able to compare, good information. I'm excited to see whether that even gives us more. We're going to have more data, but I'm not sure we're going to have more answers. But anyway, I think that that would be a question to say, you know, are people that are providing one-on-one hour-long sessions or care, are they really getting better outcomes based on the data. But it really depends on what you do with that time. It's not about the time, because otherwise, you know, people pay for an hour long massage, but that doesn't mean that their back pain's gone, right? So I feel like you really have to allocate that time correctly. And I think that Christine makes a great point when she says that you have to have enough time to dig deeper. If you are double and triple booked, you're never going to have time to dig deeper and find the root cause. And if you don't find out what is causing that pain, then you may put a Band-Aid on it. You may get them feeling temporarily better. But their recurrence rate is going to be, they're going to be coming back, in a few months. So it's just, it's about having enough time and maintaining a level of, quality of life for your practitioner. I see a lot of people that, come to us, you know, a year or two out of school and are just completely burnt out, already, based on what they were being asked to do, from a productivity standpoint. So, that's some people's model is bring in a new grad every couple years and we're going to throw them into the fire, until they end up, leaving, and then we'll bring in another one. So,
yeah. And from a business perspective, to kind of talk Paul Grow here a little bit, it comes down to what experience do you want to give not only your patients, but also your fellow clinicians, and what experience are you wanting to provide in your business? And then that's fine. I mean, it may be the 2 to 3 people an hour business model, but I guess I really just came to value the time with patients and seeing them really make lasting changes by having that extra time to really get down to root causes and explaining things to them way more than they would have gotten otherwise. And so,
so is it the amount of time or the flexibility in time? Because I'm hearing more having a flexibility in time. Like, would you be happy if you went to work for a clinic, or if you're setting up your clinic, kind of what Ersin is talking about, is having the ability, somebody comes in to see them for 20 minutes. If somebody else comes in,
absolutely,
and you need to talk to them for 20 minutes before even doing anything, right? Pain science, there's a big component, absolutely, of education and talking. So to me, it sounds like it's more important to have that flexibility than to actually say, we're going to do 45 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like Ersin. I'll sometimes do 30 minute treatments, sometimes do an hour. I've had one that lasted, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. It just really, by going into my own practice, I was able to have control over that. All of a sudden, I wasn't a slave to the multiple bookings or the productivity demands. It was really under my control to do what I felt was best for the patient. So
how do you still hit the bottom line? How do you still make money without the demand for productivity?
Yeah, well, I have been very flexible with my practice. So I started it only.
Is that a yoga joke?
No, actually, but it could be, I guess.
Pun intended.
Unintended yoga joke. Although everybody thinks yoga is about flexibility, I actually use it more for like neuromuscular control and retraining human movement rather than flexibility. But that's a whole nother conversation.
You're just setting things up for us. This is T-ball right now. This is like podcast 101. We could just lay back and just have her do all the work. This is awesome.
Well, I know you guys like baseball, so, you know, we can throw some analogies in there as well.
We do like two out of three of us, at least.
Softball pitches right now.
There's no baseball here. There's just bush leagues here.
Well, North Carolina doesn't really have a team either, so that's okay. Although I did used to work for the Durham Bulls, on a side note. So back in college, in high school, I guess it was high school. Anyway, I was on the video crew.
I just want to watch Bull Durham now.
Bull Durham. Yeah, you can go. Yeah, there you go. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
The team itself still exists, I promise.
That's awesome.
So I was looking for flexibility. So I was only 3 years out of practice. I'm actually a mom to a 2-year-old girl, little toddler at this point. And I was looking for flexibility. Thank you. Yeah, I hear you guys got some more on the way over there too, right?
All of us, all three of us, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Three of us are expecting.
Great expectations in the podcast.
That's a book. That's a classic book too. We're just throwing classic books out. This is fantastic. All right, keep going. I'm really trying not to interrupt you anymore.
I'm going to watch it.
I was trying to laugh during your intro with the jokes about the names and the books. Anyway, so, but I was looking for the ability to pretty much control my schedule and to have the flexibility to start this cash practice, but also not be completely dependent on if it didn't grow immediately, having some flexibility there. So I'm actually, to complete my story, I guess, I actually am a pediatric therapist as well and have acute care experience too. So I'm actually a PRN pediatric acute care physical therapist. Part of the time. And then the other part of the time, I'm a cash-based PT, working mostly with youth athletes, particularly gymnasts and active adults. So I float between those two worlds, which are actually more similar than you would probably think on first glance. But so when I started my cash practice, I just flex my hours back and forth between working at the Children's Hospital and my cash practice when I started, in order to have some financial stability. If that gives any new grads any ideas, if they're thinking about doing something. So
yeah, that was going to be a question of mine, because some people basically say that new grads can do that right out of school because chiros do it all the time and they pretty much have to. And, you know, some PTs say, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's really hard and we don't have any business experience. But we at UpDoc Media are trying to change that. And other people just say that, you know, no, absolutely go for it. You know, why would you waste your time working for someone for 10 years and then finally do it like I basically did? I worked for someone for so long before I finally, you know, went into business for myself, over 10 years. I think it's all up to the individual. It's definitely not for everyone. But I mean, if you have the drive to do it, you have the dream to do it, I think you should pursue it.
And there's so many more resources out there these days to help you, you know, with like Dr. Jared Carter and Aaron LaBauer. And I mean, so many other people, and even you, Arson, have spit out, you know, occasionally your business knowledge when it comes to cash PT.
When forced.
I don't like to say I'm any kind of business expert. I just happen to have lots of businesses, as Gene always points out. So.
Exactly. So you must have at least a little bit of insight. So luckily there were so many resources out there, and listening to other, you know, finding other people who were doing this, even whether they were in my state of being so soon out of school or not. I feel like compared to 10 years ago, where you'd probably look for resources and not be able to find barely any, there's just so much more out there that's encouraging and helping with all the how-tos and the nitty-gritty details to make it much more possible for somebody who's been out of school less than 5 years than it probably would have been, you know, a decade ago. So,
What's your split now?
This week has been pretty heavy on the cash PT side and a little less on my hospital hours. This month actually has been that way, but honestly, you know, I had a time where I discharged multiple people all at the same time, which is great because they all got better. And, you know, sometimes new patients aren't coming in as quickly. So I will float back and forth between the two without much thought. It has taken some pressure off to not, and you, maybe this is a bad thing, but it's taken some pressure off not to feel so much like, oh my gosh, I have to go find every patient. I'm more being select and really trying to hit the target market that I want to be seeing, which is the youth athletes and the active adults, and really focusing on that market and being okay with being a little bit more of a niche practice and not just trying to attract everybody in through the door. So it's allowing me to really do what I love, so, which is awesome. So
what do you love?
I love working with youth athletes. So I really do. I mean, I was a soccer player myself and dabbled a little bit in springboard diving in the off season to cross train. And I've always just had a passion for youth athletes. So
You dabbled in spring.
Yeah. How do you? Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, exactly.
Just going to throw that out there.
Dabble in something that's so dangerous.
I did bust my eardrum once, bailing out of a dive. But
I figured that's something you have to go head first into. No. Anyone?
Oh gosh, it's so bad. Let's edit that out. Are we gonna edit
that is
out?
Not. That is not. That was funny. That is not going anywhere.
And well, you could say I dive head first into a lot of things, I guess.
Well done. Yeah,
let's
talk
about your credentials. I'm interested because you've mentioned it so many times, and actually, I should say that the most popular post this year on the Manual Therapist blog was written by Christine. And it was probably like a throwaway post for her.
Wait, like this year or last year? Because it's only like a month into this year.
Basically, 2 months. I don't know. When did you give me that post on child's pose as an assessment?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember.
2 weeks ago?
A few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, it's been maybe 2 weeks ago. It's been read about 7,000 times already.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't even know where it's coming from. A lot of it is from Facebook, but I don't know. All I can see is that it's from Facebook. I can't see if it's like from a yoga group or PTs or PT students, but
you have a yoga group?
It is in the lead. I mean, there are that is usually like a good number for a post at the end of the year.
Can we go back to your yoga group? Since when do you have a yoga group?
Well, I have the program that I completed, the Professional Yoga Therapy Institute. I mean, I have a group there. I shared it with them, but there's not 7,000 of them. There's only like 100. So unless they've been clicking on it a lot, I don't know.
Dedicated bunch.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where they're all coming from either, Urson, but it is kind of cool, I must say.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about that program. Tell us about the Professional Yoga Institute.
And before we continue and hear about the Yoga Institute, let's take a little break and hear a word from our sponsor, WebPT, the end-to-end business solution for private practice PTs, OTs, and SLPs, providing everything from documentation and scheduling to RCM service, billing software, and outcome tracking. I sat down with Dr. Heidi Janenga, the co-founder and president of WebPT, to learn more about pay for performance. I asked Heidi, what's happening with payment reform and why should providers pay attention?
Well, Gene, with each passing day, we're moving closer to a completely value-based healthcare paradigm, one in which payers will financially incentivize providers based on their patients' outcomes, not just the volume of services provided to those patients. Soon, it won't be possible to provide subpar therapy and still turn a profit. In fact, it'll be difficult to make any money at all without providing valuable treatment and collecting objective data that backs up the effectiveness of that treatment. And once that data's in, we're all going to know who's performing at the top of his or her game and who isn't. So how do you ensure you and your practice make the cut? You start by tracking outcomes data, and you start right now. To learn more about payment reform and how outcomes factors into it, download our free guide at webpt.com/payforperformance. That's webpt.com/payforperformance, all one word.
Thanks, Heidi. That's something you definitely want to take advantage of because you and your practice want to be on the cutting edge of delivering the best service for your patients. Check out webpt.com/payforperformance. And now let's get back to Therapy Insiders. And Christine was getting ready to tell us about her training at the Yoga Institute.
So it was started by a physical therapist. Her name is Ginger Gardner. She runs this fabulous program. It's actually out of North Carolina where I live, but it really attracts people from all over North America. I mean, every on-site training I went to, there was at least one Canadian, honestly. And Ginger was off in the UK teaching earlier this year. It's spreading pretty quickly. It's a fantastic program. It is the only yoga program in the world training healthcare professionals only. So you have to be a healthcare professional, which can be of any kind, anything from PT, OT, nurse, MD, DO, chiropractor, any degree that you're a licensed healthcare professional, and to apply for the program. And it consists of 15 modules. A good amount of them are online. And then there's three on-site trainings where you go to the beach for a week and basically do a yoga retreat. Although I will say it's the only continuing ed course that you have to wake up before the sun even rises. So, but I promise it is worth it. So,
that's how you sell that. You promise it's worth it.
It's right. You have to get up and meditate before the sun, and then you get to watch the sunrise on the beach. So, I mean, that is pretty cool. Not many people take their time in life to actually do that.
That's a little better, because we're about to have a segment on pitching in a second here.
So, it's an amazing program. I mean, truly life changing for me. Ginger Garner is also a cash-based PT. She does do some pelvic work as well, but I don't think she is officially part of the pelvic mafia or anything. But she knows some of the therapists, I believe. So the program is pretty much looking at using yoga as medicine and in the rehab field. So a lot of people think yoga, and there's all these different preconceptions that come with that, especially today with how popular it's becoming, just even as an exercise program. But really, what she calls medical therapeutic yoga is using yoga in medicine, rehab, and wellness by licensed healthcare professionals who've completed the program. And so there's five elements to that, all based on the biopsychosocial model, which I've heard mentioned a few times on this podcast before. But basically she defines five areas that you use for assessment. And so she's teaching everything from assessment to yoga poses to nutrition, a lot of breath work. We even get the last module includes some pretty awesome cooking lessons too. It's really all encompassing. It's very holistic, very integrative. So the five areas are the physical, which is like your movement and nutrition, energetic, which is talking a lot about the breath, psycho-emotional, social, so how you're dealing with stress, relationships, intellectual, talking a little bit of education and mind over matter, and then the spiritual, which is not in a dogmatic sense. I mean, for some people it may be, but more about just connecting to yourself and to a higher being if you believe in one. So, you know, when I was listening to Mike Eisenhardt's podcast today, I kept thinking, man, he's encompassed all those areas with some really simple words. I might start adopting his terminology, the move, fuel, recover, endure, connect, because that's pretty much what he's talking about, is those five areas. So she basically teaches to do an assessment, which she calls the FMA. I know there's the FMA by the Functional Movement Systems. But this is a slightly different one that includes a series of yoga poses to really look at movement. So that's what I wrote about, you know, how you could use one yoga pose, the child's pose, as an assessment. The FMA is way more than just the child's pose, but that's just one example of the ideas that you might be seeing in the program.
Do you cook meat?
Yeah, they do cook meat, actually. Yes. We had some excellent chicken.
Okay.
I still cook meat. I just don't eat it as much.
I'm still listening then.
You're still
listening. On the beach?
Erson, there was plenty of veggies, I promise. So, yeah, actually you stay in a house like beachfront. It's gorgeous. It's really a fantastic experience, but you spend 3 weeks there on site. Most people do the program over a few years, but, you know, me who dives headfirst in everything – managed to do it all this fall. That's the nice thing about owning your own practice. Like Harrison said, you can take off the time you want. So I just went
all in one. That's nuts.
Yeah, I went to three full week trainings in 6 weeks, I guess. By the end of it, my daughter was saying, "No more yoga, mommy. No more yoga." So
were you getting ready to move to the beach?
No, not getting ready. I went to school in Charleston for PT school, so I lived at the beach for a while. It was great. Yeah.
So you... go ahead, Urs.
The child's pose, the way that you described it, pretty much reminded me of like a non-weight-bearing top tier SFMA assessment, you know, how you kind of look at multiple segments. Right. So I know what your next post, and I'm sure it's your next post is going to be about kind of like the opposites in a way, right?
Yes. Looking more at an extension position.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Excited for that one.
Well, I'm working on it. I was working on the pictures today.
Yeah. She's so busy. She can't even get a selfie. I just want a professional looking selfie. Your Twitter one works perfectly. I was like, give me a professional looking biopic. She's like, I'm too busy to have someone take a picture of me. I'm like, she's so busy, are you?
Sad story. I did have my sister-in-law, who's a professional photographer, take one like a month ago. I just keep forgetting to download it off my camera. I'm sorry. That's the honest truth.
Oh, man, right? That is super busy.
Yeah, that's not busy. That's just lazy.
That's just lazy. I know. I mean, I haven't downloaded anything off that camera in like 2 or 3 months, so I'm a little behind on my photo, cataloging here. But at least the Twitter one works well. So I don't know. My motivation is tanking, you know, fast.
Get on it.
So I know. One day Urson will have his professional photo.
One day he'll have one. So what's next? What's next in line for you?
What are you diving into?
Oh,
diving into.
Well done. Well done.
Well, I am finishing up, hopefully graduating here soon from my professional yoga therapy studies. So we'll see. That's on the books. Almost all the work is done. I kind of just need to submit for graduation and finish up my karma project, which is something that is also part of the program.
Do you get extra karma points for plugging the program so well?
Oh, no, but I just enjoyed it so much that if anyone's interested in yoga, it is totally the way to go. I mean, I tried some other yoga continuing ed courses for PTs, and they were just paled in comparison, which is why I decided to dive in, as you would say, to this one. You know, you asked what's next. I have a lot of ideas. I'm still trying to figure out which ones I'm going to pursue, but definitely still learning along when it comes to the marketing aspects. I know it's something you guys talked about a lot on this podcast, where we just are not taught how to do that in PT school. So I'm definitely trying to learn more in that regard to just keep the flow in my cash practice up. And then also looking into some different ideas, you know, maybe some corporate wellness work, maybe some, I'm trying some yoga classes here and there, just some different things. And we'll sort of see. I really didn't know where this journey would take me when I started it a year ago. I definitely didn't think it would mean talking on Therapy Insiders a year later. But it's opened up a lot of doors, and it's just been kind of cool to see where it goes. I don't know what's next, honestly.
that's not a bad thing.
Okay with that.
Yeah, that's as long as you're okay with that, as long as you have an idea of where you want to head and things that you want to accomplish, even though they're not concrete. I think it's okay to be agile, whether you're in business or personal. It's just as long as you have a path that you at least know where you want to head to. So that'd be cool.
You know, as entrepreneurs, we're always bouncing about 5 to 10 ideas in our head, maybe at least at once.
on a slow day, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what
pops out.
How
many times a week, Gene, can you not sleep?
Man, how many times? It depends, like, when you go to sleep. Like, there's, I have different times. Like, I have time during the day where I'm working, like doing stuff that I have to accomplish. But then, like, down times when I should be just completely relaxing, that's when I usually have a ton of ideas. So it's, I have to force myself sometimes just to not only disconnect digitally, but like to put my Moleskine notebook, my pen away, and just like watch something with my wife, watch something on TV, not because I don't want to. I love obviously spending time with my wife and just disconnecting my brain and watching something on TV. Like we talk about The Flash and The Arrow, just fun shows. But yeah, but like those are the times when I'm not focused on a project is when my brain just goes crazy and I just jot down a bunch of stuff. And like I feel guilty when I'm not doing that because ideas are still coming, but I'm trying not to listen to my head, you know, so that's the inner struggle.
Yes, everybody, you heard him right. He did say Moleskine notebook.
I know.
I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. Yeah.
I did not see that the entire time I spent with you. I just, you were on your phone a lot. And I mean, I was on my phone a lot. And it was kind of like, no one cares there because, you know, like our significant others tend to care a lot. So I tended to try to get that all out of the way during the day.
That's where the good ideas go, Urson.
Yeah, those are the special ideas. At any one time, I have probably about 3 Moleskin notebooks with me. If I have my work bag, like my messenger bag, I have 2 in there. And I usually have 1 smaller one on me. So yeah, they're always, because it's a lot easier to jot down an idea really quickly or sketch something out than it is to put in the phone. So I always have those. I like the tactile feel, even though I love technology, but I like jotting down ideas on the go.
If you had a Surface, you'd just be able to jot it down, you know?
If I had a Surface, I'd probably throw it out of frustration. And then I would not have a Surface, and I would be frustrated for buying a Surface, and then I'd be angry at you for even saying that in the first place. So no Surface.
Do we have like an Apple Microsoft battle going on here that I don't know about?
I'm just anti Apple.
Yeah, it's not a battle. It's just he likes Android, and everybody that's actually in this century likes Apple. So it's not. If you really want to call that a battle, I just like to call it Urson's just slowing the uptake in that world.
I don't say Apple's not successful. I just don't like Apple.
That's a good point. That's a good distinction.
I don't deny its success.
That's true.
They deserve their success. I don't know if Tim Cook deserves success, but.
No, that's a whole different podcast. So going back to Christine and her diving into things, if students are listening that are interested in similar paths, what are some maybe pitfalls that you've experienced or some things that maybe you would do differently to help out upcoming students that want to get into cash PT or yoga or just anything business oriented as a younger grad?
Well, it's funny you ask because my brother is actually graduating PT school in a couple of months as well. So he's asked me this question several times.
So you should have a nice, well-rehearsed answer.
Yes. Well, we all know you sometimes say things a little differently to your brother, probably, right? No, my brother and I are super close and I'm so excited he's graduating. He's going to be an awesome PT, but I've really told him to well, when he's not studying for his boards, which of course he is at the moment, to really dive into just starting to learn about cash-based PT, you know, with all the resources we kind of mentioned earlier, checking some of those people out because they've just put out such good content, you know, Jared Carter, Andler Bauer in particular, to just start seeing what other people are doing because so many people are doing it differently and there are so many awesome ideas and no matter what field or niche or whatever area you really want to be in and the clientele you want to see, somebody's out, you know, somewhere across the country is probably trying to do that too and can be a good like model and resource. I know for me, just hearing all the different ways people set up their payment structure, business and et cetera was super helpful. So just starting to become familiar with that, I think I'm more like binge learned for the whole month before I all of a sudden had a referral and was like, well, I guess I better just jump on this and do it. So I would say really just checking out what other people are doing. Talk to if you can connect with any other cash-based PTs. There's a lot of them on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and on the internet that are happy to talk about what they're doing and how. And that's the best place to start to really figure out like, hey, is this lifestyle something I want? Because it is true. I mean, at least for me right now, you know, it's a lot of variability, like you said, in the bottom line. And luckily I'm in a position where I'm not like having to stress over it as much, especially with my other job. But it's something you have to consider as a whole. Like, do you really want to take the time to commit to the business? I mean, one of the nice things when I was just at the hospital was, you know, I left and it stayed there. And that's not the case anymore. And I don't mind it because I love the population I'm working with and I enjoy every minute. But you got to really think about it from the big picture. Like, there are definite bonuses to it, being your own boss and making your own schedule, really seeing patients in the way you want to see them, spending the time with them in the way you want to see them. And but there are downfalls too. You know, you got work to do at home and a lot of extra business savviness to learn as well. I think some of the books you guys have formally recommended on here, you know, like Start With Why and I'm trying to think what some of the other ones I know you guys have mentioned. Those are great places. The Go-Giver. Is that it? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The one with the Yeah.
That's good.
You know, those are just good places to start, like thinking about the business mindset and where you might want to go. And do you feel like, hey, this is something I do want to get into by myself even. And, you know, the other good thing is these other programs out here, like the yoga, et cetera. It's been great to give me kind of something different. My background being kind of ortho sports and pediatrics plus the yoga, you know, for a while I thought, man, who's going to want to see me? I'm such like a smorgasbord. Nobody really knows what I might be able to do for them. But I've actually found out that's one of my greatest strengths because I just have such a variety of experience that I'm pulling from so many different places. Like I'm not just a pure outpatient ortho therapist. I'm not. I mean, I look at things across the continuum. And even the acute care experience makes a big difference, especially if I have athletes who are about to prepare for surgery or et cetera, and being able to tell them what that's like those first few days. And so I just don't want to put down, even if, you know, you're a new grad and you're like, man, I can't afford to do this right now, the cash-based PT, still gathering experience, even in other fields that are totally unrelated to maybe an outpatient cash PT, may really pay off in the long run. Plus, you're going to make connections, and I've learned so much about business and healthcare just by being in the hospital system and watching them have to adapt to the changes of the changing healthcare world and Obamacare and all the new regulations. And I've learned so much just from being a part of that organization too, that I feel like it's very, it's motivating because I know what I like about it and what I want to change and what I want to do different and better. And then, but it also opens my eyes to, how bigger businesses are run too. So there are really advantages to being a lot of places. Don't just think where you are may not benefit you in the long run. I mean, that is encouragement, I guess, any new grad stuck somewhere they are not sure where it's going to go.
That's
that is a great closing thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it feeds into the mentality of millennials and the way the job process is now. Like before it was, even if you're just not happy where you are, you stick it out for a year or two. But now it's, you know, you look at it all as experiences, and you do what you want to do. You do what you're happy doing, because all the time and money that you invest into schooling, and you never, obviously, I mean, you hear stories about all the time, people just to get a little morbid, just dropping dead all of a sudden. Like you really never know what life is going to throw your way. So just to do meaningless work just for a paycheck, I know a lot of the upcoming millennial generation just does not want to do that. And I agree with that, you know, do what you feel like you have to do.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to really be excellent where you are, even if you don't like it. I think that's, you know, not, I actually love both my jobs. Like I really do. I mean, they're both unique and they're different, but I love them both. And yet, even with the pressures of more, you know, productivity and et cetera at the hospital, I still think you can still go in there and be that clinician that really listens to the patients, takes time with the patients, and really helps them solve their problems. There's no reason you can't still be a great service of whoever's put in your way every day. So that's how I try to practice, and no matter where I am. And I think it you just learn so much more that way too, by being open and learning about the people who are in front of you. So,
and that's why
it's great. I mean, yeah, people always associate, you know, outpatient ortho with being like this, like rock star type PT, but you're right. I mean, manual therapy isn't just for ortho, right? I used to tell my students that back when I taught in PT school, and they're like, you know, why do I have to learn? I want to be a peds therapist. Why do I have to take ortho? Or why do I have to learn these MOBs? Or it's like, well, why do I have to take peds? Because I just want to be an ortho therapist. And I'm like, well, every patient is an ortho patient and every patient is a neuro patient. You know, and right. It's like, how can you just say, I don't find this particular class interesting? And, you know, my wife, she had several high volume outpatient ortho PT jobs before she finally settled on home care. And she loved that. And her patients loved her. And she had the time that she wanted to spend that she didn't have at her other jobs. And she did manual therapy too. It's, you know,
exactly.
So it's Yeah. You can be a rock star no matter what.
And you never know. You might end up liking peds and ortho if you're like me.
That's right. Yes.
That's what happens when you dive into things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I don't even know how many times we've said that this podcast, but it's probably getting a little ridiculous.
Yeah, and enough.
That's probably going to be in the title somewhere.
Damn right. I'm like envisioning a beach with a yoga, something diving into something. It'll come to me. So that's our hashtag Project PT, is to count the many times we made a dive joke in this podcast. So tweet that at us. Speaking of tweeting, where can listeners find you if they want to ask you questions, yoga poses? But what happened to our yoga challenge? In the summertime, we were doing a yoga challenge. I think it was when I was trying to get you more involved in Twitter at that point. What happened?
Well, I mean, I think I have to thank you for at least my first 50 followers or something. So thanks, Gene.
You're welcome.
I don't know what happened. I think what happened, honestly, is I went to that yoga training, and let me tell you, you want to talk about busy. This fall was what you call busy, running a cash practice and doing that yoga training. And I can't even tell you, the midterm and final are no joke. They took a long time, and it was just a busy fall. So I think that kind of got swept under the rug. But I'm sorry about that. We might have to resurrect it. And it'd be great if we had some more DPT student followers emulating yoga poses to the best of their ability. So they can find me at Dr. Walker PT is Twitter handle. And then my website's the same, just www.drwalkerpt.com. So
I like that. Consistent branding.
Well, my husband told me if I wanted to be into yoga and still be professional and research-based, that I needed to sound professional with my name. So, you know, can't get any more simpler than that, right?
There you go. Absolutely.
He's the one who's actually the business major, not me.
So. You should probably listen to him.
Usually.
Well, at least in the business sense. Not the marriage, though.
Yeah.
It's marriage is marriage. We're all married. We know how that works.
Yeah, okay, good.
Thanks for dropping some knowledge and diving into your experiences with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Christine for joining us. Hope you enjoyed that episode. I think Christine shared a lot of thoughts that are pretty prevalent in young grads and those that are interested in doing something, trying cash PT or just going after something that maybe isn't just a straight path. Like maybe you thought getting to experience different things and just doing something that you really want to do versus what you feel like you should do necessarily to get a paycheck. So kudos to her for kind of going after it and really, really trying a lot of stuff. As always, thanks for tuning in and listening. We really appreciate all our listeners and the reviews on iTunes. And of course, the tweets at Therapy Insiders for me, at the OMPT for Urson, and at Joe DPT for Joe. It's awesome engaging and hearing what everyone thinks of these podcasts and episodes. Really appreciate that. If you have any marketing needs, if you want to learn about digital marketing, especially for PT clinics or content creation, check us out at updocmedia.com. We have plans started and we've been working with some clinics and getting them onboarded and some other companies, and it's been a lot of fun. We're really enjoying it. The new things that we're starting, that we're announcing today, is we're doing a every Friday $5 Amazon gift card giveaway for those that leave reviews on iTunes. So if you leave us a review, take a screen cap of it, email it to me, gene@updocmedia.com, and every Friday we will raffle a winner. So try it out. You might be the winner. Thanks for listening.